Welcome to the Global Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Pablo Perel, Senior Science Advisor at the World Heart Federation. In this episode, we will be talking about a recent study on real-world cardiovascular program implementation from Ethiopia. And we'll also be introducing a new section in Global Heart called Lessons from the Field, which is supported by Resolve to Save Lives. I'm very pleased to be joined by Girma Desi, Country Director Ethiopia at Resolve to Save Lives, who is the first author of the study we'll be discussing. And also, we are joined by Dr. Andrew Moran, senior co-author of this paper, but also associate professor at Columbia University, chief of cardiovascular health science at Resolve, and last but not least, editor of Global Heart, and he's the one leading this new section called Lessons from the Field. Girma, Andrew, I'm really looking forward to this conversation, and you're very welcome, and thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
So I would like to start with you, Girma, and your paper that is titled Factors Associated with Hypertension Care Follow-Up in the Ethiopia Hearts Program. Tell us a little bit what it's about, what's the main research question you wanted to answer, and what motivated to carry it out.
Thank you, Dr. Pablo, for this nice question. So Ethiopia is one of the big country in Africa, the second populous country next to Nigeria, with an estimated population of over 120 million. As it has been true in many countries, Ethiopia has high burden of non-communicable disease, with, of course, a triple burden. Specifically, the hypertension burden in Ethiopia, as evidence indicate, was about 16.7% among the adult population. But the service access and the treatment outcome is at very low. Only 2% of the total raised blood pressure patients have their BP controlled, and the service coverage is limited to about 10% among the eligible population. So in line with this, Resolve collaborated with Ethiopian Federal Ministry of Health around 2020 to initiate the World Hypertension, World Health Organization Heart Technical Package pilot implementation, which was launched in 2020 in Ethiopia with Resolve to Save Lives technical lead. Initially, this program has a great success during its first year with enrollment of patients in care. But like after a year and a half, the patients were in care who missed visits during the care follow-up has been increasing hugely. Close to one third has missed visits from continuity of care or a follow-up. So this was a triggering factor to initiate this research. So we were keen to identify the factors that are related to missed visit and affecting the continuity of care. So because of this, we refined a research question with why does patients in hypertension care at ERTES technical package does missed visits or the service disruption is happening. So this was what really motivated this research paper.
Thank you, Girma. And I think we will put the link to your paper at the near the podcast so our audience can read the paper. And there you can see the amazing work and the magnitude of the program. Still, many programs, while they implement, they're implemented and they find problems, they don't do research. I mean, I think we'll discuss some of the challenges to do a research, you know, with the protocol and ethics and data collection. Was there any particular reason why you decided to do a research project about this problem that you found that was the loss to follow-up?
Yes. So as I tried to indicate during my first response, almost one third of the patients we succeeded to enroll in care have been missing the visits. We, along the program implementation, deployed a mobile-based digital system where we were monitoring the patient follow-up in real time. That indicates close to one third have been missing from care. So we were wondering, with strong program support and, of course, standardized care system at the primary healthcare facilities where we have been implementing the HERTS technical package, still a significant number have been missing. And we were wondering what were the real factors from the patients. Would this be a patient-related factor, service quality, or care provider-related capacity or other clinical issues? So this was the main reason behind it.
Thank you. And maybe, I mean, follow up maybe in the second part of the discussion also with Andrew in terms of the, I understand the problem that you found, but programs that they do, they don't do a proper research on that. And I think I congratulate your team to do that, because it is very challenging to do research on these issues, and we need more studies like yours. So can you walk us through the methodology of the study?
Definitely. So once the program team, both the country team, me as a lead, Andrew as a senior advisor, and other technical team discussed to do this operational research to uncover the root causes. Of course, the main aim was to identify those factors and design a model that could address to enhance service uptake and adherence in care. So we designed focused on the target population, which in this case was the patients in care for hypertension treatment at the primary healthcare facilities. Initially, we decided to include both the HERTS implementing and non-implementing primary healthcare facilities to consider if there is any difference in retention in care among these two because of the standard model for implementation. And we identified about 32 primary healthcare facilities in both models. We set a target of about 1,200 targets for data collection, which was calculated based on sample sizing. We also trained the healthcare providers and program managers who have a good knowledge of the program, but not from the research implementation area that was deployed. They approached any patients, hypertensive patients who came for any treatment in the primary healthcare facilities that are selected during this research undertaking. Patients were randomly selected for this study based on, of course, their willingness to provide an informed consent. We used a standard questionnaire, which was pre-designed and field tested. So the questionnaire mainly had information about the demographic information of these enrolled target patients, about their missed visit and factors that contributed for missing service follow-up. After we collected the data, we analyzed the data to report both a descriptive report as well as analytic using logistic regression. We adjusted the analyst logistic regression for key demographic variables like age, sex, income, and educational level, and of course the residence between rural and urban to see if there is any factors associated with this. So this was the methodology that we used in conducting this.
Thank you, Gilman. And so if I understand correctly, I mean, this was a cross-sectional study of, and then you ask, I mean, the main outcome was missing the last 3 months, and then the factors associated with that using the regression analysis. And I think also it's quite interesting You're very transparent, and in the paper you put the annex where you explain that ideally at the beginning you wanted to have this before, after, with a control. And then you face important challenges, no less than a war, I mean, COVID pandemic. I mean, can you tell us a little bit? Because I think part of the interesting discussion I think we want to have here, and also why we'll discuss later with Andrew, why we want to give this space to present research, is that unlike other research that we do in cardiovascular disease, there are many challenges, and many times we need to change what we plan to do. So I'd like you to share the experience of maybe, again, what was your original idea, and what were the challenges you had to do that, and how you adapted the study design because of those challenges.
Thank you, Pablo. It is very important to highlight those changes and adjustments, as you mentioned. Initially, basically, this research was undertaken during at the mid of the COVID pandemic. So that's one challenge we were anticipating or predicting as a factor that may affect, you know, the high retention rate in care for hypertension cases. That's one thing we assume. On the other hand, we also want to see this study between HERTES implementing PHC and non-implementing. As I mentioned earlier, with HERTES technical implementation, there are a lot of investments in terms of standardization of the service provision, the capacity building, and technical support has been very intensive. So we again wanted to see the difference between these two PHC setups as a case and as an intervention and control. So we thought to design a quasi-experimental pre- and post-intervention with, of course, at the HERTES technical package. We have this standard package of intervention we drafted initially. But with those challenges like the COVID-19 situation, which was not a real factor, and also the security situation, which the country faced then the civil war, and other elements forced us to adjust to see the cross-sectional factors associated with continuity of care. So we made adjustments based on this without changing, of course, affecting the validity of the study.
It's really good that you have the flexibility to adapt and manage to publish. And coming now to the main findings of the study, so what would be the key messages that you got from the study? And I would like also to ask you, what were the concrete implications in terms of policy and programs? So if you can summarize that for us.
So upon analyzing the data we collected from the 32 selected PHCs and among the 1,163 patients, which was a 93% response rate. So there are key findings. I will highlight those. One, close to 20%, specifically 18% of the patients interviewed reported missed visit during the last or prior 3 months of the study, which almost close to the program report I stated earlier. And when we look into the root causes or associated factors, we find out 3 key elements were related with this. One is the economic issue or financial issue, which were interpreted as the transportation fee for follow-up, and also the costs of medication. Hypertension medication is a paid service in Ethiopia, and also the visit schedule is also a paid service in addition to transportation. These are the financial issues. And the second most important was the distance. Despite this study was conducted among hypertension patients served at primary health care, which is assumed closer to the community in terms of service access, but those patients who are coming, traveling beyond 1 hour, were found to be more likely to discontinue the visit follow-up. And the third important factor we identified was the appointment arrangement was the key findings. So based on this, we came to realize that financial burdens, geographic situation of access to care and service arrangements were found to be the key determining factor for visit follow-up or continuity of care based on this field study.
And this informed the program? Did you change anything on the program based on these findings?
Yes. So based on this result, what we did was we presented this finding to the Federal Minister of Health because these are significant and key factors. Not only the result, we proposed models to address some of these interventions. Of course, not all at once. For instance, one of the proposals we presented for the Ministry of Health and the health insurance was since out-of-pocket incurs a huge burden and resulted in disruption of service, the community-based health insurance could be a good solution to roll out. So in consultation with them, nationally, this has been promoted and the government took in rolling out this initiative. In particular at ERTES in implementation PHCs. On the other hand, we also developed a concept for differentiated service delivery, which was derived from HIV experience, ART treatment. We proposed a 3 months medication refill for stable patients, which have been endorsed by the ministry for pilot implementation under Resolve to Save Lives leadership. We have been successfully implemented and demonstrated a significant change in retention, which was almost improved from one third to less than close to 10% missed visit or over 85% retention. So these were the key. And the third proposal we presented was community level refill of medication for stable patients, which has been held as a good proposal, but because of the limitation of medication access, that has been put on hold, but the country is considering this initiative, where before 2 years, there was community health program initiative or roadmap, which promotes decentralization of hypertension and DM care at community health posts, which we promoted as a refill side. So the government changed the policy to go beyond refill to start care service at community health post level. So these are some of the key policy changes, strategic changes this paper triggered at national level.
Thank you, Girma. I think it's such a good example of, I mean, you said, I mean, the magnitude of the problem, the challenges to conduct research, but some concrete findings that inform policy. That's why we wanted to share with the audience this paper, and I hope this new section also will motivate you and your team for future research. Just to finish, Girma, we always ask all our guests a question about the meaning of global cardiovascular research. It's interesting because everyone has their own understanding of this. So I would like to hear, what do you think global cardiovascular research means?
At Resolve, we really valued evidence-based intervention as an organization who focus on accelerating and responding to global deadliest disease, in particular, in this case, the cardiovascular health, focusing on hypertension care service, evidences, generating evidences, field-based operational researches, really informed in designing a well-crafted models of intervention, particularly for low and middle income countries, as a means to create an efficient and effective strategies and intervention models. In line with this, the Resolve's contribution towards generating evidence to shape the global interventions and response is instrumental to ensure, of course, access to care, standardization of the service, and also ensuring quality of care. So this research and many others led by Andrew and our global team is as a result of making sure TVH, one of the leading cause of death globally, will be paralleled with a standardized model of responses and evidence-based decision-making. So researchers are very instrumental in this regard.
Thank you, Gilman. I think you cover many topics. I mean, I wouldn't say it was a short definition, but I'm sure I agree with all the things that you said. I want to thank you again for sharing, I mean, your experience and for publishing in Global Heart this interesting paper.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and great to participate.
Gilman, thank you again. So let's now move to you, Andrew. First, before talking about this new section, lesson from the field that you're leading at Global Heart, you were an author on this paper we just discussed. I don't know if there's anything else you would like to mention about the paper we just discussed with Gilman. Any other important message for our audience?
I just want to say that it's great that Global Heart chose and the World Heart Federation chose this study from Ethiopia as an example. It was already published in Global Heart, but such a great example of a research study that was designed to answer a research question coming from challenges experienced in the field, in the program. And then the results of the study, as you heard from Guillermo, led to actual changes in the program, partly because there was already a relationship with the government and there was a way to implement those changes. So it's an exciting example of these types of lessons from the field and how they can be lead to real changes that affect the patients and their health.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So that leads us to this new section, lesson from the field, that you are one of the editors leading this section. So what is it about? Tell our audience and hopefully authors that will be willing to submit, who is it for?
So putting on my hat as a Global Heart editor, I'm really excited that our editor-in-chief and yourself, Pablo, supported this new Lessons from the Field article series. We know that Global Heart is the world's leading peer-reviewed journal dedicated to improving cardiovascular health globally, and especially in low and middle income countries. So it's a unique journal. And this article series titled Lessons from the Field Will Meet an Unmet Need by one, bringing to the global cardiovascular health community cutting edge evidence on innovation and practical implementation of clinical and public health interventions. And two, developing research and communication skills and cultivating the careers of cardiovascular health practitioners working in low and middle income countries. So our goal is to spread the word amongst the cardiovascular health community about new and practical advances in cardiovascular disease prevention and control.
So one of the challenges, and we were discussing just now with Gilma, and it's a good example, I think the paper that we were discussing. So you have a lot of challenges in conducting studies in these settings. You can start with an idea like before, after control study, and then you end up, actually it happened, I mean, to me in some settings, so it's not unusual. And this is part of the challenge we have because we judge, I think, our research on kind of the methodology and complex study design. So what type of study are you looking for and how we can improve implementation research through the publication in this section? I mean, can you expand a little bit what type of studies you would like to see published in this section, and also maybe any note about being transparent about the challenges that researchers will face? Because I'm sure it will not be a section that will be full of clinical trials or even cluster trials. So I would like you to expand a little bit on that.
Yeah, thank you, Pablo, for the question. I think we agree, based on our experience, that there's a lot of evidence generation going on and a lot of people out in the field testing things that's so far has been very much invisible to the rest of the cardiovascular health community, because many of the practitioners who are trying new things in the field, they don't have the resources to plan and design a full-fledged traditional research study, and let alone write it up and publish a full-length research article in a peer-reviewed journal. So lacking those resources, many of these practitioners, despite that they're trying new things and discovering new things, it's invisible, right? Or it's the information stays only at the local level for that specific country and locality. So the purpose of the Lessons from the Field article series is to take this kind of on the ground, sometimes operational research, sometimes quality improvement research, and really give it that a voice, and also lower the threshold by taking these kind of practical implementation and operational studies and only requiring a brief report and facilitating and mentoring through the Global Heart Editor Group, and really lowering the threshold to publish this kind of information. It doesn't mean it's not rigorous, and it doesn't mean it's not of good quality. It's just making it easier for these practitioners because they're busy, they have full-time jobs, and it's hard for them to generate and publish a full-scale traditional research study.
Yeah, and I think we share a common pathway, and if you train us, you know, as a doctor, epidemiologist and methodologies, we think about this hierarchy of, and I think like the word you use, threshold and lower the threshold, I mean, I do the same, but in a way, I mean, conducting these studies actually is much more difficult than running a clinical trial in a stable setting. So I think the threshold actually is quite high to be able to conduct research in these settings. And I think it depends on the question. You need to, you are generating some knowledge that will be useful, as you said, beyond that setting. I think it's quite important. I personally value a lot this type of research. What is important for authors is to understand that, of course, we know and we acknowledge that there will be study designs that might be not so robust in that hierarchy of evidence. And I think we want to see those type of studies. One interesting thing I would like to ask you, Andrew, because you have different hats. You are an academic and a researcher, but also you work for an organization such as Resolve. And sometimes my feeling is that organizations that are implementing programs, they're not so interesting in conducting research to inform the programs because the time for research, you know, you need to write a protocol, get through ethics approval. Do you think I can see and Resolve, we'll come to Resolve later on, and so you can explain a little bit more, or you can do it now. I mean, why Resolve is supporting this research. But in general, do you think that's, I don't know if my perception is correct, that most of the institutions implementing programs, they're not so interested in operational research or implementation research?
Yeah, it's true. I think sometimes organizations that are, you know, implementing public health programs or clinical programs in hospitals, they're very practical. And they may say, well, what's the use of the research? And then sometimes they're right. Sometimes the evidence base is so strong. Do you really need a research study in a new country to say that it's need to give a statin to prevent a second myocardial infarction? No, you don't need to do that. But there are certain questions, as we saw with Guillermo's study in Ethiopia, where government policies are, you know, the current status quo and standard of practice is really getting in the way of the program. And things are not going to change unless you present a rigorous research-based piece of evidence to convince that government stakeholder. And Guillermo told that story in Ethiopia. We have another example from Bangladesh, where a lot of the hypertension care and diabetes care is delivered at these Upajola health complexes. They're sort of like district hospitals, and they do provide primary care, but they're far from many people's homes, not easy to access, and they're very crowded. There are hundreds of people lined up every day to receive care. And so we had this idea with the National Heart Foundation of Bangladesh to deliver care in the community at community clinics and have these community healthcare practitioners who are sort of like community health workers deliver the hypertension care, at least for the stable patients. But that there was a big obstacle to doing this with the government. The current policies and regulations didn't support that. And they demand very rigorous research evidence before they're going to make a policy change. So the research is needed. Some of the changes, if they're important policy changes, will not happen without the research evidence.
Thank you. And I think I agree. I mean, it's a really important piece for advocacy and sometimes for influencing policy. But I want to follow on Resolve to save lives. I mean, we are very grateful for, I mean, Resolve is supporting low and middle income countries based authors. So they will not have to pay the fee for the article for some limited number of authors. I mean, can you tell us a little bit more about RESOLVE? I guess anyone working on global cardiovascular research will know about RESOLVE to save lives by now and should know if they don't, but maybe you can tell a little bit more about RESOLVE. And in a way, you cover some of, I think, the arguments why they are supporting this section, but maybe you want to expand on that.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to introduce to some of our listeners what RESOLVE to Save Lives is. It's a global health organization. It partners locally and globally to accelerate action against the world's deadliest health threats, and that includes infectious diseases and cardiovascular disease. And since 2017, RESOLVE has partnered with 38 countries to deliver the World Health Organization HEART's hypertension care package. And now more than 34 million hypertension patients have been enrolled in the standard HEART's care in these countries. So at RESOLVE, we believe that we improve health only if we follow the data. Global Heart's lessons from the field will cultivate that culture of cardiovascular health evidence-based on sound data. RESOLVE also believes in speed, simplicity, and scale, and these principles will be embodied in the Lessons from the Field article series as well.
That's great. And I think that partnering with WHO and Heart's package is very important. I guess we're going to have several papers coming to this section about HEART's implementation. For me, another important outcome of this type of research and this section, Andrew, I think it's learning from each other, the challenges, how to do things. We know, I mean, there's a small community that maybe we know each other, but many times we learn only by meeting. I mean, this will be a platform for all the researchers to come together and to learn from each other. And this goes definitely, this is, I think, is a good example of south to south and south to north learning. There are many things that there are countries, maybe in Africa, Latin America, Asia, that are doing that also can be implemented sometimes in high-income countries. So we are reaching the end of the podcast, and I would like to ask you the same question I asked Girma that we like to ask all our guests, and it's your understanding of global cardiovascular research.
At RESOLVE to Save Lives, we work toward a future where people live longer, healthier lives, communities flourish, and economies thrive. We focus on preventing cardiovascular disease because it's the world's leading killer and impacts people and families in every country, regardless of income. We are passionate about delivering quality cardiovascular disease preventive care to every patient coming to their local primary care clinic. And research is an integral part of this work. As the Ethiopia research experience showed, research results can directly change our approach and lead to better program performance and better preventive care for patients.
That's a very concrete and pragmatic research that has a very concrete outcome. I think, as you said, the Ethiopia paper is a good example. So again, Girma and Andrew, thank you a lot for joining the Global Heart Podcast, for sharing your insights and experience. To our listeners, the link to the article is included below this episode. If you are working on implementation research, operational research, health system innovation, please consider submitting your work to our new section, Lessons from the Field. Also, remember to listen to our Global Heart Podcast for more conversations in global cardiovascular health. Until next time, thanks for listening.